Tonight we come to Psalm 122. This is the third of the Song of Degrees, which are Psalms 120 through 134. All of them are labeled Song of Degrees. This particular one reminded the pilgrim and strangers as they journeyed to Jerusalem three times yearly of the joy of going to the house of the Lord. So as they made their journey, they were reminded of the privilege to go and worship their great God and the need to pray for peace. Accordingly, on our pilgrim journey today, we should remember how blessed we are to have the privilege of the true church, to appreciate it, and pray for those who make up the local assembly. You know, when we talk about the church, then we know that God is made up of God's people and wherever they meet together. And so when we think of the church, we most of the time and the teachings on the church and the scriptures focus on the local assembly. Wherever we assemble ourselves to worship the Lord, we understand that God has his people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. We know that there are far, far many more of God's people than there are primitive Baptists, and we can be thankful for that, can't we? But what a blessing that God has blessed us to know the doctrines of grace, that we can rejoice in these truths, and that we can rejoice together as we meet together and come to the house of the Lord. So verse 1 says, this is a song of degrees of David. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful to see each one of you tonight. I'm thankful that we have the desire to be at the house of the Lord tonight. And we've got a kindred spirit with those of old who had in their day, those that traveled to Jerusalem those three times in the year. But notice, getting to the notes here, notice the joyful anticipation of being in the house of the Lord. Notice also the priority that was placed upon going. What would be the reason for having such joyful anticipation? Think about that for just a second. What's the reason to have such an anticipation and joy to be in the house of the Lord? Okay, that's good. You know, I'm sorry. Okay. Sometimes we hear folks talk about, you know, there's ways of drawing a crowd. There's ways of getting people to turn out. But would it be for the right reason? We come to worship. We come to feel the presence of the Lord. If the reason is only because of who else will be there or what you'll be doing, then it's not a joy for the house of the Lord. Instead, you have a joy for what or who you like. See, we're living in a day where there's so much of a lot of times we call it the consumer mentality. And that shows up in the church sometimes, doesn't it? You know, if we're going to worship, one of the components of worship and following the Lord is to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. Luke says daily. Follow the Lord. So when we come to the house of the Lord, we expect to feel the presence of the Lord. We're his people. This is his word. This is his house. So we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So it's not a matter of other things and what we might do and who we might see, but if your heart is set upon the Lord, on his goodness, his mercy, his glory, his love, his righteousness and loving his ways. Then you also will look forward to each opportunity to go with others to the house of the Lord. It's all about the Lord. What and who he is, what he's done, what he's doing for us daily. And we don't go alone. Aren't you glad? That we don't have to go through this world alone. I'm thankful for family, I'm thankful for friends, but I'm thankful for brethren and sisters in Christ. We have the blessing of being with part of the family of God. You know, do you like to go to, I'm straying from the notes here, but do you like to go to family reunions? It's nice to do that, isn't it? Excuse me. But you know, every time you go to a family reunion, family gatherings, or whatever, somebody's not there. And as the years roll on, more and more folks are not there. Oh, but what will it be to gather together with all of the family of God in heaven's pure world? Well, we have that to look forward to, but we have the blessed privilege each week, like this and on Sunday, to gather with some of the family of God. And enjoy being with one another and hearing his word and rejoicing with him. Verse 2 says, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. More than to just have a longing for it, there's a joyful anticipation of being there and to join our heart and voice with others who also desire to be there. And we have the promise, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Who said that? The Lord said that, didn't he? Now, that's not a, like I say here, that's not an excuse for small crowds. But what a comfort it is when two or three of God's people gather together in his name. He's there in the midst. Now, I know that the context of that, and I don't think I said much about that, but the context of that verse in Matthew 18 is a matter of dealing with offenses between when there's an offense, and we have quite a pattern laid out for us there about how to go about dealing with that offense. And he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he's promised to help us and to be with us when we have to deal with those things. But this is a general promise that when we're gathered together in his name, and so surely when God's people are gathered together to worship him, he's promised to be with us when we met together in his name. So what a blessing. What a blessing that we have, that God promises to be with us. May we also look forward to seeing him more than anyone else as we make our way and anticipate being in the house of the Lord. Verse 3. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. This speaks of a city that is built strong and well defended. It speaks of the privilege and security of its inhabitants. You know, in that day, a walled city was the best place to be for protection. And so Jerusalem had that. And what a blessing that was. But also it speaks of being compacted because of the unity of its inhabitants. And that's what that word, the meaning of that word, carries the idea of a unity. Unity of the inhabitants, unified in purpose, unified in wanting to grow together, unified in wanting to please God, unified in serving the Lord, because they know that there's none like unto him and that there's no better place to be than in his holy city. So the church meets together. We worship together. We go our separate ways, but we're still the church, aren't we? And so we want to live that way. This is the privilege we have in his church today. Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Another blessing and privilege and promise that we have from the Lord, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Spiritually, the church is being kept by the Lord. Aren't you thankful that we have his help? Aren't you thankful that we can call upon him, and when we're trying to do his will, that he's there to help us? He's promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. We may face persecution, but we are eternally safe in the Lord. He's keeping us. The church has faced persecution in the past. From the looks of things and the changes that's been taking place, we may face some more persecution in the near future. We don't know. But we know this. The Lord's watching over us, and he's there to help us. And if it should be so bad that our life would be snuffed out, well, we'll awake in the presence of the Lord, won't we? Tell you, that's something we need to remember in all of our hard times. Verse 4, "Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." Though they were individual tribes, yet they came together in Jerusalem to worship one Lord for a testimony that they all were Israel. Okay? The children of Israel, okay, the 12 tribes, they were all one family, weren't they? Okay, but different tribes, so they would come together in that way. And when they came together, it was a testimony that they were children of Israel. So also today, even though there are many groups and denominations among the people of God, yet there is still one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We may continue, may we continue to learn of him and strive to worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? Now, sadly, not everyone will appreciate the doctrines of grace now, but they will in heaven. They will in heaven, won't they? We may learn some things in heaven too, don't you think? Because we'll hear the pure truth. We'll understand it better. We'll have a greater understanding, a greater knowledge. But bless your hearts, we desire that others could see these wonderful truths. And I'm sure from time to time we've tried to talk to others about these things, and I'm sure perhaps you've gotten that blank stare when you've tried to express to them some of these wonderful truths that you understand. Well, if you get blank stares, I guess you just have to let them stare. Be patient. Be loving. Be kind. Because God's going to have to open their heart and mind just like he had to open ours. But be patient, be loving, and continue to live like the Lord would have us to live. Aren't you glad the Lord's been patient and loving with us? I certainly am. Aren't you thankful that God's had mercy upon us? So, we're blessed to understand these things. It's not something to boast about, is it? Because if the Lord hadn't opened our heart and mind, we wouldn't appreciate it either. but he has a multitude more of his people in this world. So, yes, just like the children of Israel, there may be many tribes and from different directions, but we're the same family of God. If indeed he chose us before the foundation of the world, if Christ has shed his precious blood for us, we're all a part of his family. If we don't see things always the same way, it doesn't change the fact that we're his children. And I'm not saying we need to condone all the things that other people teach. I'm just simply saying that God has a big family. We can come together. And I'm thankful that we have the local assembly, the church, and we can gather together and worship him, excuse me, in spirit and in truth. Verse 5. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Whatever judgments were rendered in their respective villages, Jerusalem was where the king was and where the law of God was taught. I could have said a lot more about that as far as, you know, that was, in their culture, they had a theocracy. In other words, their religion and their government was combined. And so the king, it was one religion, and they also had David, and David was a man after God's own heart. And so what a blessing that David loved the Lord, and he wanted to serve the Lord, and he wanted to do what he could to be faithful to the Lord as the king of Israel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that today? All right. The word of God is right. And his word is what we should follow. Okay, we just take that for granted, don't we? But just as then, so it should be now, that the law of our God would be upheld by the highest judgments of the land. I know that Israel strayed from the Lord many times, but when David was king, and I know David made his own mistakes, but when David was king and when he was following the Lord and doing that which was right and good, what a blessing that even the king was upholding the word of God and living according to it and teaching it. What a blessing that would be. So just as then, so it should be now, that the law of our God would be upheld by the highest judgments of the land. For our safety, our strength, our utter survival, we must love the Lord our God, cling to his word, and follow it to the best of our ability. This is the only way for us to retain our identity as the true church of God. If we should get to the place, you know, the church hasn't always been known as Primitive Baptists. It's been known by a lot of other names down through the ages of time. If Primitive Baptists were to get so splintered in their beliefs, and this group believes this, and we don't believe that, and they believe this, and, you know, I mean, that there are pockets of different beliefs around the country now. But if that should happen, but we hear about another group over here, they may not be called Primitive Baptists, but you start looking at what they're teaching and you see that it lines up with Scripture. Would you stay with the name, or would you want to go where the truth is being taught? That's what makes the difference, isn't it? The Word of God. And when people stray from the Word of God, then we move away from the truth, don't we? Will God bless that? All right? So, the only way for us to retain our identity is the true, this is the only way. I mean, by loving the Lord, clinging to his word, following it to the best of our ability is the only way for us to retain our identity as the true church of God. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Perhaps studying this psalm helped me to have that burden of heart to ask you to pray for one another. Something we need to be doing on a regular basis. I trust that we are doing that, praying for one another on a regular basis. But it's so needful, isn't it? So needful. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. What an awful disillusionment it would have been for those pilgrims to arrive at Jerusalem and find the city of God all divided and fighting within their gates. Now, just imagine, make it a pilgrimage, having such a joyful anticipation of being at this place to worship God, and when you get there, just find folks all fighting and not at peace with one another. Wouldn't that be a letdown? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But when that happens among God's people, it is terrible. We've known of places where there's been disturbances, and perhaps you've had to live through some of those disturbances in life, and it just makes you sick, doesn't it? What did he say? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All right, for us today, pray for the peace of the church. This is not in the notes either, but Jesus came. He came to reconcile us, to make peace between us and God. And he did that. But we have to work at it sometimes, don't we? To remain at peace with one another. All right? But it's so important that we seek peace in the church. Okay? So, so they would have been disillusioned if they'd have found that kind of condition. This would be so foreign from the type place for which they had so much longed for. So also, in the Lord's church today, we should always value the peace of the church and the smiling approval of our Lord above any personal preferences we might have of our own liking. You agree with that?
Absolutely.
This is the Lord's house. It's his word. We need to follow that word. We're all going to have our personal preferences. But for the sake of peace, for the sake of peace, maybe our personal preference doesn't mean much. Okay? All right. David said, "They shall prosper that love thee." And Jesus himself told us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's something about being a peacemaker. There's something about seeking peace. There's something about working for peace. There's something about praying for peace that identifies us as the children of God. That's what we want to be, isn't it? Okay? God's people love him, love his ways, and they will be diligent to do his will. Now, we're not perfect, but what we're talking about is pressing toward the mark. Doing what we can to the best of our understanding and living according to how the Lord would have us to do. And the degree to which we follow God's way determines how much peace we enjoy. Okay? So someone that's straying from the path, they're not going to enjoy the peace and the contentment in their heart and the fellowship with the Lord as much. That's the point. Okay? So may we be as David and greatly desire that peace would be in the house of God and that we would continue to grow and prosper. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Individually, we want to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As a church, we want to grow. We want to be a bright and shining light so that others would have a desire to come and be a part of us. All right? The Lord's made peace between us and God. And we can rejoice in that and thank Him for the blessings that He gives us each day. And we want to do what we can to keep and to maintain an environment where it can grow and prosper. What did he say? They shall prosper that love thee, he said. Okay? Pray for the peace of his church, that we will always be known as the children of God who walk in his ways and do his will. Verse 7. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. David has a lot to say in the psalm about peace, doesn't he? Desire for peace, all right? If peace is within her walls, that is, for us at least, within the hearts and shared purpose of the inhabitants of the city, then there will be an environment for them to prosper. Feel the presence of the Lord. Feel the love flowing from breast to breast. Feel the presence of God's love and his peace among us. But if they're they are pulling in different directions, listening to different teachers, and doing things that they must hide from each other, then growth and prosperity are not going to happen. Okay? So what he's laying out in this psalm here is a way for us to stay close to the Lord, praying for peace, living according to his word and enjoying that peace in our hearts. Okay? God is well pleased to provide peace for his children and for his church. And the degree to which we follow God's way determines how much peace we enjoy. May we be as David and greatly desire that peace would be in the house of God and that we would continue to grow and prosper. Verse 8. For my brethren and companions' sakes. Get the gist of what David's saying here. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Okay? Such peace is not only to be enjoyed by us individually, but collectively. Each of our brethren deserves peace when they come into the house of the Lord. That's what we hope to find when we come to this place, isn't it? Okay? And we have no right to act in such a way as to disturb that peace for others. Would you say that would be acting selfishly? You know, we talked about our personal preferences are not so important as promoting peace and working for peace. And when we think about what we're talking about here, when he talks about, when I mentioned that each of our brethren deserves peace when they come to the house of the Lord, and we have no right to act in such a way as to disturb that peace for others. We have to remind ourselves sometimes, don't we? We're in the house of the Lord. Okay? So therefore, as we commit to pray for the peace of the church, it will remind us, or remind each of us, to be our own judge. I gave you a reference. I didn't put the text of it, but 1 Corinthians 11. It's a very simple verse. 1 Corinthians 11, verse... sorry. 1 Corinthians 31. I'm sorry. I read that backwards. 31, verse 31. Very simple verse. Paul writing to the Corinthian brethren, saying, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Now that simply is telling us that we need to consider ourselves. We need to consider ourselves and whether we're in the faith, whether we're following in paths of righteousness, and if we, you know, if we're praying to the Lord, "Search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If we're praying that, and the Lord starts to show us a little something that we need to work on, then we need to follow what the Lord's showing us. Judge ourselves. Examine ourselves. Try to work on whatever it is that the Lord has shown us that needs to improve in our own life. So that if we judge ourselves, then we wouldn't have to have a good brother or sister come along and make mention of it to us. That's a mark of maturity, isn't it? When we can search the Scriptures, and when we can be instructed by the Scriptures and not wait for somebody else to have to make mention of something to us if we happen to be out of the way. That's what we want to do, is grow in grace. We want to be at peace with God, with ourselves, and peace with our brethren, have peace in the church. All right? Verse 9. "Because of the house of the Lord." Now, David has been praying for the peace of Zion. He's been talking about the joyful anticipation of gathering together with God's people, with the saints of God, to worship him, to feel his presence, to learn from his word, exhorting us to pray for peace among ourselves. And he says, "Because of the house of the Lord." I'm sorry, let me read that differently. "Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Now, no doubt David has in mind the good teachings of the Lord that will draw us closer to one another and closer to him, the good of the Lord. But he's also talking about the good of the house of the Lord. In other words, the honor of the church. Okay? How needful that the church have a good influence in the community round about it, so others can know the true and living God is worshiped there in spirit and in truth. Isn't that the way we should want to be known at Piney Grove? That those people worship the true and living God. Those people try to live the way the Bible teaches. We know that's the mark. That's what we should all strive for. God's honor and glory is to be shining forth, and each member ought to be doing all they can to seek how they can contribute to the good name of God's house. You know, when we leave this place, if somebody happens to know, "Oh, you attend Piney Grove," or wherever it is that you might attend, you know, we represent where we're a member. And it may be that some folks' impression of this place might, the only thing they may know about this place is whatever you represent. Well, we want to represent the Lord in a way that would be honoring to him, don't we? That's how we would promote the peace of Zion and show forth the glory of God. So we should all be trying to do whatever we can, as I said here, to contribute to the good name of God's house. We just happen to attend Piney Grove. Okay? So Ecclesiastes 9 and 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. That's true, isn't it? That's true. I won't go into any details, but several years after I became pastor here, I was talking to somebody in town, and they began to tell me about an incident that happened here. And from his version of it, it really upset me, because I was aware of that situation. Okay? Now, this wasn't so much it was a single incident, and it wasn't so much that the person involved had a bad spirit, but it was somebody else that was visiting this church that had a lot of influence in this area and influenced this church to make a decision that this man that was talking to me was very much opposed to what was done. And he had an awful opinion of this place. And you know what really bothered me most? I tended to agree with him that what was done shouldn't have been done. All right? Now, I guess it's dangerous to bring up something like that, because you always want to know, well, who was that? You know, what did they do? The point is that one person and their influence, who, I don't know how many people in this community heard about that, but I'm satisfied a lot of people heard about it, and a lot of people had the wrong impression about what actually happened. But right or wrong, my point is, that was their impression from one person. Oh, how needful for the honor of our merciful God and for the glory of what he's blessed us with, that we live our lives in a way that's pleasing in his sight. Not be a stumbling block to somebody else, and not to be that one sinner that destroyeth much good. I know we come short. I know we make our mistakes. But may God help us not to be that one sinner that destroyeth much good. Our best defense, getting back to the notes, our best defense is to walk in wisdom. When I say walk in wisdom, I hope you understand, according to the Word of God. That's wisdom. But one fleshly minded sinner who's not dealt with can bring shame and a reproach upon the house of the Lord and destroy much good. I have seen in my short lifetime. I used to say in my short lifetime, but I realize that's not quite as short as it used to be. I have seen what some churches have called discipline, and I didn't want any part of that. People can be very harsh, very hard-hearted, very hasty. There's times when people have done things in the name of discipline just because the church was embarrassed and they felt like they had to do something right away. But what it boils down to is what the Word teaches and how we want to live our lives. And if there should ever arise something that needs to be dealt with, I don't believe that the Lord's there in heaven with a stopwatch, waiting to see how soon you're going to take care of it. But we should try everything we can to lovingly restore. That's what the Lord taught us. That's what the Lord came to do for us, isn't it? And we should try to do everything we can. If someone strays, to try to restore them. Try to bring them back into the fold. And to be as loving as we can with them. So, therefore, to seek the good, and that's what he said here, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. So, therefore, to seek the good of God's house and honor God over the sinner, discipline will eventually be needed when one stubbornly persists in straying from the way God teaches us to live and keep peace. Perhaps I shouldn't have left it just at that. Because when you think about church discipline, and quite frankly, we're living in a day where a lot of folks don't want anything to do with church discipline. But if God says this is the way it ought to be, but we allow it to be some other way, then aren't we showing more love for that other than we are for the Lord? And if we continue to try to allow this and allow that and go the way of other things instead of what the Lord says, then eventually his presence will not be felt among us. And so the best defense, as I said in the middle of the paragraph, our best defense is to do as closely as we can to how the Lord teaches, that we can walk in peace, we can love one another, we can seek one another's good. Our preferences are nothing. If there's some contention, then the sooner we can settle it, the better. Because it's the peace of the church that's more important than any personal preference we have. And yes, sometimes people push their opinion. And that's where maturity comes in, isn't it? That we have to be loving and patient. And the surest way to an argument is for both to be contentious. If someone's going to be contentious, then just back off. Back off. Be patient. It's not worth it. We certainly don't want to disturb the peace of the house of the Lord, where we come together with a desire to worship and adore our Heavenly Father. David said, how did he start out? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But if the peace of the Lord's not there, if we don't feel his presence, we wouldn't have the desire to go there, would we? So may we do all we can to promote the peace of the house of the Lord and walk in paths of righteousness and do what we can to promote peace and to love one another. And yes, that means sometimes praying. And we may have to pray diligently for one another. You think you've prayed enough for one another? Think things might be a little better if we spent more time praying for one another? Now, thankfully, we don't have any, I'm not aware of any big problems with contention and all that, but what I'm saying is this is what is teaching us that the house, the peace of the house of the Lord is something we need to be praying for on a regular basis. That we'd all keep our mind and our focus where it needs to be and our priorities where they need to be so that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can be glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. We have a great privilege in the church. May God help us to avail ourselves to it every opportunity we have. Let's close out with number 197. Number 197, announce an open door of the church. If there's one or more here.